We come now to bring you the second lesson on my Father's business, Luke chapter 2 and verse number 49. And it was the answer, those words are in the answer that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to Mary and Joseph as they were kind of blaming him for their sorrow when it was them that had left him. And he says unto them in verse 49 of Luke 2, "How is it that ye sought me? Why was it a puzzle as to where to find me? Why did you have to look for me? Wished ye not, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" So we see that they didn't understand that, but he goes down with them in verse 51 to Nazareth and was subject unto them. And Mary keeps thinking about this, trying to figure it all out. And then in verse 52 of Luke 2, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. This was the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the eternal Son of God. He always has been here. He didn't have to get here in order to be here. He was already here before he got here. He has been as long as God has been, and God has no beginning. So the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father are one. But now he is separated from his Father in his humanity. But the thing that he wants to do is to continue in that fellowship with the Father that he's always had and that has always been that which sustained and nourished him. Now, these verses give us understanding of how detrimental being involved with kinfolk and acquaintances in religion can be to you in leading you away from your personal fellowship with God exclusively. And you think, well, it's a wonder God didn't send a pandemic and bust all that up so that they couldn't come to church and be involved with one another. It's a wonder God didn't send a pandemic so that they would have to individually in their own places, in their own houses, have to come back to God individually, and that's what he originated to begin with. But I want to tell you something. According to Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, he did send a pandemic. 17 nations of Jews were gathered together on Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, count them. You can count all 17 nations. Now, all of them were Jews. That was their religion. But they lived in 17 different nations. And for all them people to come together and enjoy themselves so much at Jerusalem, then here it comes in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, Saul was consenting unto his death. Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle, was consenting with Stephen's death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. Listen. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So when you have people who are bunching up and enjoying themselves in the name of religion, more than they are enjoying the person of God, and they bringing him to a place of disdain and not glorifying him like they should individually in their hearts, what is the first great commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Not our hearts, individually. You must love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. And here is a thought that you probably don't like me saying, but I've said it before and I'll say it again. The church is Christ's bride. So if the church does not go to her husband, the headship, but she goes to the bride, that's spiritual homosexuality. Now, you can wonder how come we got so much homosexuality going on in this nation. It's derived from spiritual homosexuality that the church and religion has been guilty of That's where it flows from. Spiritually speaking, that's how it broke loose on us. Dear soul, we need to be careful about this. And we need to understand, God's not going to put up with this. It's unbelievable. The entire state of Idaho has every hospital they have filled. There are people dying in their cars outside in the parking lot waiting to get in. Every single ICU bed is taken up. And Idaho has got so much COVID-19 in it, it's spilling over into the state of Washington and filling up their hospitals. It's amazing what's going on in this nation, and people just walking around like nothing matter. Nobody's repenting. Ain't nobody talking about God. We're not trying to get on our face and cry out to God. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and I'll hear from heaven and open up the windows of heaven, pour them out a blessing that they're not able to receive. Why are we not having blessings that we're not able to receive? Because we're not humbling ourselves and getting on our knees and praying and asking God for forgiveness. There is no repentance in America. We're arrogant. We didn't do it. It ain't our fault. We blame it on everybody but ourselves. And yet, here we are. Can't be taught. Only God's few. But what is this doing to the Lord Jesus? Why didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business? Why didn't you know that so emphatically that you didn't have to seek me? You should have known exactly where I would be. Why is it that way? Because he is one with God the Father. He has always been eternally related to his Father. You can read, as we have many times, the 8th chapter of the book of Proverbs and learn that Christ there speaking as wisdom, our wisdom. And as I said, he is our wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 tells you Christ is our wisdom. Just says it plain as the nose on your face. Then go back over there and understand this is Christ speaking of his relationship with God the Father. I was daily his delight. I was brought up together with him. Before the mountains existed, I was there. My delights were with the sons of men, the election of God. Chose us in Christ. Couldn't choose us in Christ except he was there. So we begin to see that there is a union that I don't know how to talk about between God the Father and Son that did not cease to exist after the incarnation. And chapter 2 of Luke tells you that. We're looking at it from the parents' viewpoint. But what would the 12-year-old boy have been thinking? Well, my parents don't love me. I don't know where they are. They taught me to go to the nearest policeman and turn myself in and see if they can put an announcement in Walmart. We have a child lost up here on... No, he didn't do that. He wasn't seeking his earthly parents. He said, didn't you know that I must be seeking my Father and doing his business? You should have known I would be in the temple. And I wanted to ask and answer questions. I wanted to catechize these rabbis. So we look at it from the parents' viewpoint, but look at it from the child's. Christ was seeking fellowship with his Father, irregardless if he lost every human fellowship and contact he had. When he saw it was the mind and will of God to put Joseph and Mary back together with him, he went down to Nazareth with them and made himself subject unto them. And in that environment, he grew in wisdom and favor with God and man. Wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So we don't realize how hard it was on the humanity of Jesus of Nazareth to be separated from his father, whom he had been involved with, it's dumb to say it that way, I don't know how to say it, who had been one with from all eternity. Let me read you some verses. John chapter 6 and verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Those things that I'm doing, I'm not thinking about me in this, well, I'm setting up a religion here. I'm going to be a religious leader, and I got to do certain things to structure this thing right. I'm just doing those things that please my Father. That's what I've always done ever since I've ever been. John chapter 9 and verse 4. John 9, 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. I've only got a certain period of time that I can work. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do to take full advantage of that time and that opportunity is to work the works of him that sent me. That's how it's supposed to be. Go back to John chapter 5 and verse number 17. They got on to him for working on the Sabbath day, verse 16. John 5, 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto until now, and I work. When are you going to work? While it is day. How are you going to take best advantage of the workings in that day, that time of ministry that you have? I'm going to work the works of him that sent me. Why are you working on a day that we say you shouldn't work? Why did you separate yourself and give your dad, your father, and I such sorrow? I don't follow natural relationships and natural religion. I must do the works of him that sent me, and I will be about my Father's business. Why are you working on the Sabbath day? Jesus said, my Father worketh hitherto until now, and I work. God the Father is working. I know that because I and the Father are one. What he does is what I do. So he worked on the Sabbath, on y'all's Sabbath. That's what I'm going to do. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. Isn't that amazing? The perfect God-man in their presence to them is an object of scorn in so much that they wanted to murder him. Why? Not because here's a man that's going to do exclusively what God wants, so we ought to get in with him and follow along with him because he's following exclusively God the Father. No, we want to murder him. Why? He ain't doing it like we want it done. It's our Sabbath day. You're not doing like we want it done. You can't come over here with all that doctrine. Don't come in here preaching eternal security. Don't come in here preaching sovereign election. Don't come in here preaching sovereignty. Murder him. Lie on him. Drive him forth with lies. Those that hate God's word will believe you. Don't worry about it. You'll get a lot of people up against you. He says, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken their Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. He didn't make himself equal with God. God made him equal with God. So they said, we got you now, not only breaking our Sabbath, but you say you are God. Listen, John 5:19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, and this is an amazing statement that I still don't know how to look at. The Son, capital S, Son of God, can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. Wow. When he said, my Father worketh hitherto and I work, he's telling you now, I could see God working, so I'm just imitating that which he did. He had God the Father in his sight, in his perception, in his knowledge and wisdom and consciousness at all times. It is astounding to me that God, who is Spirit, John 4:23-24, invisible spirit, blanketing the entirety of the universe. In fact, the universe is in him. In him we live and move and have our being. He is the vastness that contains the universe. How in the world can God, who is spirit, communicate with a human being on this earth? But this wasn't just a human being born of woman. This was God the Son. And he said, I have a vision of God. I have a revelation of God. I have an awareness of God. He manifests himself to me, and that's how I know what to do. Wow. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he, God the Father, doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. One of the ways that children learn to express themselves and develop their personalities is imitating their parents. I remember when there was a time when we had the rage for the Christmas gift for the young girls was an easy bake oven. And they actually had mixtures in there. You can mix up the pancakes or the muffins or whatever, and with the little packages that they gave you, follow the directions and, you know, do like your mother did and put them in the easy bake oven. It had the great big old hot light bulb in there, big bulb, and it would actually cook it. And the little girl could act like she was doing the same thing as her mother. And Dad get in the yard and pitch the ball to the son, and the son would learn how to catch and pitch like his dad did. Where do we get all that? It comes down from this. I only do that which I see my Father doing. I can do nothing of myself. And he says, for what things soever he, God the Father, doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. John 5:20, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. It is the oneness with God the Father that provided the actings out and the teachings of everything that the Lord Jesus Christ said and did. And by the way, that's the definition of the gospel. Luke writes to Theophilus in Acts chapter 1. He says, these things, you know, having this perfect understanding of these things, of all that Jesus began both to say and to do. That's the gospel. What Jesus said and did. Where did that come from? I don't say or do anything that my Father doesn't say or do before me. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will, excuse me. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. He said, if I don't do the works that no other man in the history of the world has ever done, you don't have to believe me. But if I do, you need to believe me for the work's sake. What works were these? The works of my Father. And I do these things to bring God to bear upon planet Earth, so that you might understand that to see me and to hear me is to see and hear God the Father. For I and the Father are one. No man cometh to the Father but by me. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son of God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him, brought him out into the open so we might see him. That's what that word declared means. So, have I been so long with you and thou hast not known me, Philip? Who was Philip wanting to know? The Father. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So, here is the essence of God among us, the God-man. He is very man. Got a heartbeat, blinks his eyes, has to move his feet and legs to walk, eats like we do. Everything that is man, he is. But everything that is God, he is. How can that be? I don't know. There is a uniqueness about him so that both his humanity and his deity remain pure. There is no contradiction between the two. And everything he said and did, every attitude that he had, that's what God would do if God was here in person, and he was. Jesus Christ is God here in person. So he says, I do those things that please my Father, and I don't do anything unless I see him do it. How in the world can Jesus of Nazareth see the Father doing it and he doing it himself? It's spiritual, dear friend. And instead of the Holy Spirit, he shall take of mine and show it unto you. He shall do those things that he does when he sees the God the Father doing it himself. The Holy Spirit did the same thing. Now, in John chapter 8, verse number 28. Let me back up some. In John chapter 8, where in the world can we start? Let's just start with verse 25. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I haven't changed my message. I've told you the truth from the beginning. And what I told you at the beginning is all I can tell you now. I have nothing new to add. I have many things that I could say to judge you. But he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. So to hear Jesus of Nazareth speak is to hear God the Father speak. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. John 8:28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, that is on the cross, ye shall know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Do you get the understanding that there is a spiritual revelation within the consciousness of Jesus of Nazareth that he knows and that causes him to understand and perceive the things that God would do, that God shall do through him. Therefore, he being on earth is God on earth, and he being on earth doing these things is God on earth doing these things. Ye shall know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. He had a consciousness of God the Father being with him. The fellowship between God the Father and God the Son prior to the incarnation. What does that mean? Prior to his birth in the manger. Was not broken because of the incarnation. How in the world did the eternal Son of God implant himself in the embryo in the virgin's womb? I don't know. But I know this. He was the same as in fellowship with the Father after it happened as he was before it happened. He didn't cease to be that which he had always been. He was in oneness and in unity in connection with God the Father. But he became that which he never had been, and that is God the Son in his humanity. But he didn't change. You figure that out. I need to quit saying that because you can't figure it out. Nobody can figure it out. You can't approach it with your mind. Great is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. You have to come by faith to see that Jesus of Nazareth is very God. You have to believe that that which Jesus did and is the only hope of your salvation. He that believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He that believeth not is condemned already, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 3:16 and John 3:36. So to know the Lord Jesus Christ is to know the invisible God Almighty. For they are one. And that can only be done by God the Holy Spirit, who also is one. And Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I had it explained to me like this one time, and I think I've explained it to you like this. I'll try it again. If we set a pie down, ooh, I love pie. And you say, there's three of us, we want each a piece. And you cut it in thirds. And each person gets a piece. That's not how the Trinity can be defined. The piece that is representative of the Holy Spirit is the full pie. The piece that is representative of God the Son is the full pie. To see me is to see the Father. And the piece that is God the Father is God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. What do you think Jesus was talking about as he told those Jews, the favorite funeral passage is today in our world? What do you think he meant in John 14:1? John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. You believed in the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, God of Jacob, God of Elijah, the God of Samuel, all of these, you believe in him, right? Yep. All right, look at me, Jesus of Nazareth. You can believe in me in the same way you believed in the God of Abraham. For I and the Father are one. They had to come to understand and believe and they muddied up the water by saying, this is Joseph, the carpenter's son. No, he wasn't. He was God, the Creator's Son. And to see Him is to see the royal ambassador who came out of the ivory palaces into this world of woe. He would voluntarily go with you from Jerusalem, where He was doing His Father's business, back down to Nazareth to be subject to you and still grow in wisdom and in knowledge and in favor with God and man. So He brought Himself to be continuously in fellowship with God, never lost contact with Him, no matter what the circumstance or situation. But how did He grow in favor with God? How did He grow in wisdom? You say, well, God knows everything, right? Did it ever occur to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? He's always known everything all the time. Then how did Jesus grow in wisdom? He veiled His glory. He stepped out of the ivory palaces into the world of woe. And being made like unto His brethren, we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was at all point tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And being made a perfect captain, dear soul, He had to go through things that He had to suffer in order to be made a perfect captain, a perfect captain of our salvation. He had to make sure that God understood, forgive me, Lord, forgive me, people. It's best I can do. If you want somebody else to take to do this, go get them. It's all right with me. I cannot fathom the glories of God Almighty without stumbling all through it. So the Lord Jesus Christ, He veiled His glory. Yes, He as God knows all things, but He grew in wisdom. So what did He do? Well, He wanted to be made like unto His brethren. How did Abraham learn? How did David learn? Proverbs chapter 4, I'll show you how they learn. The same way you learn, progressively. Proverbs 4 and verse number 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. For me to be able to stand up here and read this Bible and read these words and read these paragraphs and speak to you, I started out having to sing A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You don't want to hear me sing the rest of it. One letter at a time. Then I was given a little old paperback. It wasn't really a book. It just looked like a pamphlet. And it had more pictures in it than it did words. And I had problems with the letter B and the letter D because I couldn't remember which side the bump was supposed to be on. If it was on the left side, it was a D. But if it was on the right side, the lowercase B, it was a B. And I got things mixed up. And simple little words were hard. And we got the story of Dick and Jane. See Dick run? That was pretty good learning that. And then they had a dog named Spot. See Spot run? See Spot jump? Oh, okay. That's how you learned, progressively. That's what Jesus did. He veiled His glory. Yes, He is God, is fully wisdom. He doesn't just have wisdom. Proverbs 8 in 1 Corinthians 1 says he is wisdom. But he's going to be made like unto his brethren. How do we live? We are the just, and our path is like the sun coming up. God doesn't throw a switch and goes from darkness of midnight to the brightness of noonday sun. It'd blind every one of us. You see one little finger of light come over the horizon. First of all, there's just kind of the darkness being less dark. I don't know how to explain it. You say, look, it seems like the night is going away and the day is coming. And there's no sun as yet, and there's no finger coming over the horizon. It's just less darkness and like more shadowy. And then here comes a finger over the horizon. And then another. And then the brightness begins to increase. And the writer of Proverbs in chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, that's how we learn. See Spot Run? See Jane bust Dick in the mouth. No. That's how we learn. And the concert violinist moving your heart with these beautiful strands off of that violin started out, every good boy does fine. You got to start at the beginning. And Jesus Christ is the pattern of how man exists, progresses, and learns. So, yes, it says he grew in wisdom. How did he grow in wisdom? To the same degree that he grew in stature. As he grew in stature, progressively, he grew in wisdom. As he grew in favor with God, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He grows in favor with man. Jesus Christ is unbelievably marvelous and glorious because he is very God, and you can depend on him to be thinking and doing everything that God would be thinking and doing were God on earth himself, and he is because Jesus Christ is God. Now, folks, you can knock me in the head and make me forget my name, but you ain't never going to make me not believe that. I'll always know because he showed me. He has told me. That's why I'm giving you this. I don't have this of myself. I didn't get this out of Dr. Bottle Stopper's commentary. I got this from the Holy Ghost, same as Jesus said the Father taught him. What he sees the Father do, that's what he does. That's all I know how to do. It's what Jesus shows and tells me. And it took me all these years to come to this place of this little teeny bitty witty bit of knowledge. But thank God, one of these days, he shall change our vile body into the likeness of his glorious body. We shall see him as he is, for we shall be like him. Glory to God. And then I won't have this darkness and ignorance and sinfulness and guilt to work against. It'll be perfectly pure and holy like he is, and then we shall know as we are known. Isn't that something? That's just glorious. John 16 and verse 28. What did Jesus understand about himself? Let me read it to you. John 16 and verse 28. How am I doing on time? Well, we're all right. John 16, 28. Verse 27, for the Father himself loveth you. Why? Because ye have loved me. And because ye have believed that I came out from the Father. If you'll read John chapter 17, Jesus said, I gave them your truth, and now they believe that everything that I have, I got it from you. Isn't that good? But listen to verse 28. John 16, 28. Number one, I came forth from the Father. He was with God. That's his eternality. And am come into the world. That's his incarnation. And became flesh. Again, I leave the world. That's his ascension. This same Jesus shall come in like manner. And he says, and go to the Father. You say he's going back to where he was. Well, yeah, but no. He won't go back to the Father like he came from the Father. A little wrinkled up baby who couldn't hold his own head up. Mama had to put her hand behind his head to keep him from breaking his neck if his head wasn't supported. You say, well, we know that. He's going to be grown up. Yeah, but he grew in wisdom same as he did in stature. You got to know that too. He has experienced in progressive revelation to himself, meeting out to himself, rationing out to himself wisdom on a daily basis like the just do as they progress in wisdom as the light shineth. Until it comes to the full day. He did not tell himself anything more than what needed to be known in his particular order so that he could be a faithful high priest to you, no matter if you're a teenager or you're a single person or you're married or you have children or you have grandchildren or you have great-grandchildren. Jesus Christ has fulfilled all righteousness so that you have pattern to go by, but you have the spirit of his revelation within you that he, like he said, I see the Father work, so I do it. So you have the spiritual eye to understand and perceive by faith what Jesus would do, and that's what you do. And 1 John 5:27 said, because of that, you have no need that any man teach you, but the same unction, the same anointing that abode on you from the beginning, he shall abide with you and teach you all things. Isn't that good? And what is it? 1 John 5, I'll have to look it up. Come on, go with me. 1 John 5. In verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come. Do you know that? I do. I know you do it. Number two. And hath given us an understanding. It's not just I understand the incarnation is taking place. It's that the incarnation has taken place. And with that, all of God's true believers have been imparted an understanding from God. We know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we might know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, and this is eternal life. Glory to God. In Dawson Street Elementary School in LaGrange, Georgia, they would have different, I don't know what you'd call them, people come and put on shows in the gathering place, had a stage on it and just all kinds of seats, and it could hold the entire student body. But back in those days when money was really money, it would either cost a quarter or 35 cents for you to go see the magician that they had lined up to come and entertain. That's the word I couldn't think of. It came to entertain the whole student body. I don't know why they thought that was part of an education, but they did. But guess who didn't have a quarter of 35 cents. So the teacher who drew the short straw had to get all of us poor folks that couldn't even afford a quarter to go see the entertainment. And she would keep them, one teacher would keep all of us in one room. That way the rest of the teachers who may have had some of those students in their class, each teacher didn't have to stay with each one of those students that didn't have the quarter, but they had to let one student, one teacher that could keep all of them. And I was one of the people that made the teacher miss the entertainment. And we could hear them laughing loudly or applauding, and we wondered what was they doing. But we couldn't go because we couldn't afford it. I'm glad it was that way. That was hard. And back then, no matter who lost or who won, only the person that crossed the finish line first got the trophy. Nowadays, they give trophies to everybody. That wasn't the way it was. We learned. We didn't have the money, we couldn't go. This old, I don't have the money. I don't have anything to offer God but my sin. I am broke. Turn my pockets inside out and nothing falls out. But I heard God say, come and buy bread without price. Come and drink the milk without money. Come and eat of the fatness of God free, and your soul shall live. And I said, glory to God, He included me. Dear soul, it doesn't matter what you don't have. If you do have an awareness of your inability, if you do have an awareness of your sin, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, take my yoke upon you. Didn't say it wouldn't be without work. You're going to have to learn how to walk in the yoke with Jesus, and ye shall find rest to your souls. The devil can't do anything about it. He can't drag you out of heaven into hell. He can't make you miss the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. He can't make you miss the forgiving power and grace of the blood of the Lamb of God. It's yours. You don't have to stay behind and listen to the rest of them laugh. You don't have to be the one to keep your teacher from having to miss the goings on of entertainment. You can walk in with praise on your heart and on your lips, with holy hands lift up to God and say, blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He that has saved us, not we ourselves. Glory to God, He did it. But there was a price He had to pay. Let me finish out with this. Proverbs chapter 15. You remember I told you that Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That prayer was heard. But there was a prayer in the garden and said, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. And that prayer was not heard. That's when fellowship eternal fellowship that God had had. I've tried to show you how that the Lord Jesus Christ, even after the incarnation, there was no broken fellowship between him and the Father. I read you the verses. What I see my Father do. My Father worketh hereunto, and I work. I tried to show you that there was a continuity of continued expression of glory from God the Father with God the Son, and there was it was not broken. It was conditioned upon the ability of the brethren that he wanted to be made like to be able to receive it, but it wasn't broken. But there was another prayer that was broke, that was not heard. Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, and that's the greatest word of humility and confession you'll ever hear. Nevertheless, thy will be done. Why was that prayer not heard? Because he was made sin for us. And I want to read you a verse, and you're not going to like it. I don't like it, but we have to face it. Proverbs 15 and verse number 8. Proverbs 15 and verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The Lord Jesus Christ begun to have, and I don't know how this happened, any more than I don't know how the eternal spirit of the Son of God became man in that virgin's womb. I don't know how, and most preachers say how our sin was poured out on him. I don't relate to that. I don't know how he became our sin. But in doing that, he became to be seen of God as wicked. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. I can't hardly stand that. Jesus Christ being made an abomination to God the Father. And the rest of the verse is ours, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Jesus Christ died so that we might live. Jesus Christ was seen as being wicked and rejected so that we might be seen as righteous and always received by God. Come unto me, all ye that labor. And that eternally unbroken fellowship between God the Father and God the Son was broken because of my sin. That did it. And the Bible said when he, let me read it to you, Matthew chapter 27, and verse number 46. Matthew 27 and verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, that is to say, my God, not my Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Remember, it was me that was in the temple seeking to do your business. Remember, it was me that I did everything I saw you do. Remember, it was not my sin. So, may I ask, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken. He did cry, my God, not my Father. I and my Father are one. Does not say that now because he has become identified with the bride and she is guilty. The wages of sin is death. And he marries her and takes on her debt. And now he has to pay her debt. And the wages of sin requires his death. And the father says, that sacrifice is an abomination. I cannot hear that prayer. God have mercy. And what did that cause? Verse 50, Matthew 27. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, the spirit. He died. What do you mean he yielded up the ghost? No man taketh my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up. This have I received of my Father. And he says, so, dear soul, why did he lay it down? Because the Father had forsaken him, and he couldn't bear it, because that was the first time that God the Father and God the Son ever had unbroken fellowship. And I did it. The sin of mankind, the sin of his elect did it. Oh, what glorious love that is. Oh, love that will not let me go. I rest my weary soul in thee. And give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer fuller be. For God so loved, he gave. There is no loving without giving. And he laid down his life and separated himself from that which he had known eternally, even in the temple with his parents fussing at him. Even when the Pharisees and the scribes hated him and spit on him, even when he was mocked and all of this happened to him, he had that fellowship with God. But then when he entered into sin and sin entered into him, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Jesus Christ, the Bible said, God is of purer eyes than to behold evil, and he turned his back on his son, and Jesus said, I can't take this. And he laid down his life right there. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I trust this message has helped you. All I want to do is glorify God and help you walk with God in a more spiritual way. Continue to pray for me as I pray for you.